Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Mark Morris Dance Group will conclude their 2016-2017 season with the world premiere of Mark Morris's Numerator at Boston Symphony Orchestra's Tanglewood Music Festival for Lou 100 in honor of the divine Mr. Harrison, an entire Lou Harrison program performed with the fellows of the Tanglewood Music Center. Composer Lou Harrison, who is widely believed to have created America's first important body of multicultural American music, lived from 1917 to 2003. This year marks what would have been his 100th birthday, an occasion celebrated around the world on May 14th. Mark Morris has been hailed by the New York Times as the most successful and influential choreographer alive and indisputably the most musical. In addition to creating over 150 works for the Mark Morris Dance Group, he conducts orchestras, directs operas, and choreographs for ballet companies worldwide. We are very happy to have him join us now. Mark, welcome to the Roundtable.
Oh, thank you. That was quite an introduction. I'm impressed.
Well, thanks. It's easy when one is as accomplished and impressive as you and, of course, the late Mr. Harrison.
Yeah.
Tell us about your friendship with Lou Harrison and your relationship to his music.
Well, they're related. I mean, I met him because of his music, and I would say probably something like 1985 or something, 85, 86. I was teaching and living part-time in Seattle, Washington, and I was asked by the person who directed the Seattle Men's Chorus, which is one of the gay choruses, early gay choruses of the big cities of the United States, if I would choreograph a dance to do with the Seattle Men's Chorus, and I chose a piece that I had just found, a recording of a piece of Lou Harrison's called Four Strict Songs. And it was written for orchestra tuned in equal temperament and an eight baritone vocalists. And the person who ran the chorus, Dennis Coleman, had known Lou in some capacity and asked Lou if he would allow the chorus, which consisted of 120 men, if he could do an arrangement of the music for 120 men instead of eight.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou said, of course, Lou being a gay activist and sort of a radical fairy and a brilliant, great, wonderful guy, came up to Seattle. And that's when I met him. He was there for the whole time for the rehearsals and the performance. He brought a set of mixing bowls that were part of the percussion battery tuned with water because it's not equal temperament. So it's all retuned instruments or non-fixed pitch. So it's trombone, retuned piano and harp and vocalists. And it's an amazing, beautiful piece of music. So we did it with my company. I choreographed it, the Seattle Men's Chorus of 120 and an orchestra, smallish orchestra, and a brilliant sign language interpreter who does all of their concerts. So it was so fabulous and so fun. So Bill came with his boyfriend, Bill Kolvig, they've already been together for quite a long time. And that started, it was the first piece I did to his music, and I've done quite a few since then, including a commission of Lou's, and a very strong friendship that lasted until he died, I don't know how long ago now, 10, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
2003.
That's my story. Oh my God, really? Okay, that's a long time now, of course.
But it doesn't feel that way, does it, when someone is so close to you and you still get to listen to
the
music?
Well, also it's his centenary, and I've been in contact with Eva Soltis, who runs his foundation, because also just the other night they did a new production of his opera, Young Caesar, that just happened at the LA Philharmonic. So I've been keeping track of that and very excited because that's a piece I always wanted to do. So I stay in contact with his world of music and sort of I keep track of that stuff because I like it so much.
Numerator is the new piece that will premiere at Tanglewood this month. Tell us about this piece.
Okay. It is. it's called Numerator, and it is to a piece of Lou's that I can't remember what year it is. It's not that old, but it's a piece called the Varied Trio, which is for piano, violin, and a mix of percussion. A percussionist who is very busy. It can be done with two or three percussionists, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So each movement is slightly is a rethinking of that relationship of those three participants. And in this case, because of where I was with my company, several women had just left my company for various reasons. They'd been there forever, or they had children, or it was time to go elsewhere. So several of the women who danced with me for a long time were suddenly gone. So I was down a couple of women, and I made up a dance for all men. similar to a dance I made up years ago when I was short on men for a while and made up an all-women's dance. So this one, it just seemed right, and I had the time, and I actually finished it quite a while ago because I've been super busy touring and making up other new things, but this was always destined to be premiered at Tanglewood. So that it'll be the world premiere there, and, you know, I go early to work with the fellows, the musicians who actually play for our concerts instead of my normal music ensemble. So I go there, we rehearse it, put it up, and see if anybody likes it.
How do dancers become a member of the Mark Morris Dance Group?
You audition for me, and you have to be really, really good and smart and versatile and devoted and intelligent and grown up. And, you know, it's not for everybody. But also, the turnover isn't that fast. You know, I have people who very often have stayed with me 15, 20 years, and that's an amazing thing. It's not just because there's no other work, because there isn't a lot of other work, frankly. Certainly not full-time job like this is. So the turnover is small. The company is usually around 18 to 20 dancers. We work all the time, and there's a big repertory to keep track of, and, you know, hooray. It's wonderful to work with a devoted and, you know, well-taken-care-of group of dancers.
This is the Mark Morris Dance Group. This is your 12th season at Tanglewood. Numerator is your 9th premiere at Ozawa Hall. What is it about Tanglewood that keeps you coming back? Why is that relationship so important to you?
Well, first of all, you keep stunning me with these facts of like, oh, my God, really? That long? That much? That? frankly, we go where we're asked. I don't just show up and hope somebody will let us perform. We have a long relationship there because of, I think specifically because of my relationship as a choreographer and as a man to music. So, you know, it's not a dance festival. There's very little to zero dancing at Tanglewood, at least for the last several decades. And so Ellen Heistein, who runs the Music Center, runs the Fellows, et cetera, and, of course, the Boston Symphony. So Tony Fogg and everyone at the BSO. Yes, well, of course, Mark Volpe, who remains to be obeyed and is fabulous. And, you know, so, I mean, we usually overlap with the orchestra, but when we go there to do the workshops, it's before they get there. So there's more, not leisure time, because the fellows are playing their brains out every minute, practicing and performing and sight reading. It's a little bit less frenzied until the orchestra gets in, and of course that's wonderful, and the big shows start. But so we're usually sort of at the cusp of that, and my dancers teach the musicians teach the dancers, we sing and play. I coach, I'm separately, as a person, I'm on the music faculty, so I coach percussionists and pianists and singers, and I teach a lot of things from my point of view, which is not the point of view of the conservatory. So it's because my company's relationship to music, the interest and the obvious long-term relationship of music to dancing, they were, I think, born about the same time in history. So we go there, and people like to see it. We love to work there. It suits us very well. Let me just put it that way.
The information I have about the dance program that you're presenting, once again, the title of it, Lou 100 in Honor of the Divine Mr. Harrison, includes the costume designers who have designed costumes for these dance pieces, which isn't something I typically notice when I read about these things. How important is it to you what the costumes look like, and how do you find the designers you'll work with?
Well, that's interesting, because I have to tell you that very often press releases leave out stuff. Like,
sure.
You'd be surprised how many times I see a poster or an ad for a dance or a dance company or a big ballet, and now we're doing, you know, Swan Lake, and who choreographed it. You know, that's very often left out. So to remark on the costume designers being left out, I think that's great, because nobody noticed. You know, I have friends who go to see a show, and a ballet. It's like, I went to the ballet. Oh, who danced the principal roles? And they can tell me that. And then I say, who conducted? And they usually don't know, because that's not deemed to be important. And I'm not saying it, you know, it's edited because people aren't interested. It's just not in the forefront. So everything that we do, I give the music that I'm going to be choreographing to whatever designers. If there's a set design, which I don't do that often, but I do sometimes, set, costume design, lighting design, and of course the musicians, and I play the music for the dancers, so that everybody can work on it from the beginning of me deciding to do it without necessarily much information about what the dance is going to be like. So I work with a pretty small roster of costume designers and lighting designers, and I give them the music and we talk about it, and then they present sketches or ideas and we talk about it further, and then it comes true. So sometimes I know exactly what I want the whole thing to look like, but usually I don't, and I'll just say, they have to be able to dance in it, or sometimes I'll know if I want a certain color palette, or, I'll know something about the tone of the piece without having even started it. And then those people, those collaborators, whoever they are, will come in and watch rehearsal whenever they can, or I'll sometimes give them secret video recordings for them to watch and think about what to do. But also at Tanglewood, it doesn't get dark till partway through the show. So in designing lighting for a new piece, we have to rehearse at night, of course, after, depending on when the show is going to happen in the actual, calendar of sunset and nighttime, we have to know what it's going to be like the days we're working, and then we work out the lighting for that time of day. And frankly, we usually have to touch it up when we do it in a proscenium theater where you can black out the whole place. So the only light is what we give instead of what the sun and clouds give us.
The Mark Morris Dance Group presents Lou 100 in honor of the divine Mr. Harrison at Tanglewood's Seiji Ozawa Hall on June 28th and 29th at 8 p.m. To learn more, visit markmorrisdancegroup.org or tanglewood.org. Those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.